In times such as these, when more often we want to turn off the news rather than to listen, to use our newspapers to clean our windows rather than to read, to curl up in solitude in the relative safety of our own homes rather than to engage in the world outside, there are lessons we might learn from those whom we have known, loved, and lost. This week, during which Memorial Day has been observed, offered us all an invitation to remember, called to honor and remember deaths not only of servicemen and women. We may have been overwhelmed by thoughts of so many others who have died, lost to acts of violence and hate, acts of injustice too numerous to name, to flood and fire, earthquake, famine, and tornado. And then there were, our beloveds. We are reminded all too well, sometimes not consciously, of how interconnected are all the griefs, all the losses. Those that are rough and raw and new, intertwined in memory and thought with those whose pain has softened with time. Losses of those known and unknown. The sting of losses, personal losses experienced, and of those losses still unfolding, combined with the sense of powerlessness and helplessness we may feel when inundated by news of floods and fires, tornadoes and famine, of children starving in Africa and Venezuela, or isolated in cages on the Texas border, of these that have become the longest wars fought in this country's history, and a president too often, in my opinion, engaged in bellicosity, engendering hate, and assaults on democratic institutions. The feelings that come from this sense of all these losses can be overwhelming. The desire to withdraw from it all can be mighty strong. During this past week, though, I found myself recalling moments with loved ones now gone. In those moments recalled, I felt deep gratitude. How fortunate I was to have been present simply to be their witness. In those moments recalled were lessons that just may help us to remain engaged and conscious of what's going on in the world outside, to deal with the sorrow and the anger, the distress, lessons that may help us to find our way through these troubled and troubling times, lessons that enable us to tend our spirits, lessons that may help, as my yoga instructor said recently in describing a particular pose, to strike a balance between ease and engagement. Deep down, we know what we need to do that we may find our way through times like these, that we may find that balance. Sometimes, though, we forget. So today I'm going to share some lessons that I have been reminded of as I have remembered in recent days three people whose presence in my life touched me deeply. I look as well to others for words of wisdom. First, and above all, let us do our best to be in the moment. When my mother, who died almost 2 years ago today, began losing her short-term memory, I would become so frustrated. We'd talk about whatever it was too many times. Why couldn't she just remember? Then one day, I experienced an aha moment. In her, I observed a more profound way of being in the present than any I could ever have imagined. I realized that for her, every single moment was in fact new. Every single moment could be filled with wonder and awe, or simply a question or comment concerned with the everyday. "How is your day going?" she would ask again and again. "Have you seen that rose outside the window? Isn't it beautiful?" And time after time, I would answer, "Yes, it is so beautiful." Or she would ask, "Is my appointment next month with the dentist in my book?" It was, of course. To be in a state in which each and every moment is new, equally wondrous or mundane, to really, really be in the present is a way that requires a great, great deal of practice. Unless, I suspect, we too have come to a certain time in life. The Buddha once asked a student, "How long is a human life?" The student replied, "It is so brief, it seems but a day long." He then asked another the same question, "What is the true length of a person's life?" She answered thoughtfully, "It is the time taken to eat a single meal." And so the Buddha asked a third student, "How long is life?" "The time in a single breath," was the student's reply. "Exactly so," said the Buddha. "You understand." So be in the moment, be present. For 20 years after my father died, Daryl was my mother's companion. He was a Marine pilot, flew fighter planes during the Korean conflict and helicopters in Vietnam, then taught flight school at Quantico and Pensacola. He was a gentle soul, and some of my clearest memories of him are of him sitting on the porch at my husband's farm. In mornings, Daryl would sit alone with his coffee, watching the bears and the deer, great herons, and an occasional kingfisher as they visited the pond. He'd listen to sounds of traffic in the distance, watch clouds pass by, and the light change, totally present to his surroundings. In the evening, he would sit on the porch again, listening, watching for the turkeys. He laughed with sheer delight, perhaps identifying a bit, as having been a pilot, perhaps identifying a bit with each as it took its lumbered flight, tripping and tumbling over other members of the flock to finally settle on the branch of a nearby tree, safe from the coyotes. Shortly before his death, Daryl was a victim of Agent Orange. I visited him and my mother. I put bird feeders outside every window where he had a bed. He loved watching the birds, but also the deer that would come stand on their hind legs and just paw to get the bird seed. Daryl would lie there, chuckled more quietly, but still there were his gentle smiles. Be in the present. Sit quietly. To be where you are is a lesson of nature. Meditate. Laugh. Engage in activities that require focus and offer a quiet way of centering. I may not be sitting on the porch to watch the turkeys, but I do work all the puzzles in the newspapers, often have a jigsaw puzzle that I'm working on, do needlepoint, read, tend my garden, not nearly as well as I would like. My friends make quilts, create backyard gardens that are so beautiful, bake bread. Find joy in the everyday. Seek joy in the beauty of nature. Finally, I want to share a story that was told almost 30 years ago during a Memorial Day service in the sanctuary at the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Albany. Len Dietz, many of you, I suspect, remember, know Len and Betty. Len Dietz, who was a member of that congregation at the time, spoke about his experience during World War II as a fighter pilot in the Pacific. Among other things, he said that he had come to understand the meaning of Martin Buber's I and Thou at the moment in a firefight in which he knew he had prevailed. It was not his first kill, he said, but it was the first time that his eyes met with the eyes of his enemy. And I quote, "He was young, and I knew as our eyes met that there were people who loved him and who he loved, and that I was his witness." And then his plane began spiraling toward the earth. He was a human being, our old friend said. At that moment, which Martin Buber would have described as a meeting in the between, Len experienced an essential aspect of an I-thou relationship. Such a relationship, according to Buber, could exist between one human and another, a human being and an animal, a human being with a thing, such as a rock or a tree. It is a meeting, Buber sometimes said, of soul to soul, a meeting somewhere in the space and time between two or more beings. In that moment when their eyes met, Len saw his enemy as a thou and vowed to work for peace for the rest of his life, as he did. Len died several years ago, but his story will stay with me for the rest of my life. If there were just one gift I could give as a gift of solace and hope in times as troubling as these, something that offers that balance, I would offer to everyone in this sanctuary and beyond the possibility for just occasionally meeting in the between. If I could hold it in my hands, although I would wish that it would exist in infinitely accessible quantity. If I could divide it into pieces, wrap each morsel in a package decorated with shiny papers and all the beautiful things that hint of what is within. If I could tie each little bundle with fluffed up ribbons, the colors and translucency of the rainbow, I would measure out a portion for each of us that we might find the way toward meeting on occasion in the between. For such a practice, I believe, may offer a path toward peace, peace within, and a sense of peace, being at peace with the world beyond. The kind of peace that comes not from silencing or hiding our opinions, but from sharing our truths honestly and from being open to the truths of others. It's the kind of peace that can help us to honor deeply the differences among us. It is the kind of peace that may come from seeking and finding common ground. So might it be.